Council work session, Tuesday, December 13th, 2011. Present today is Councilman John McLeod, Mayor Kent Gwynn, Councilwoman Mary Sue Rich, and I'm Susie Heimbachel, Councilwoman. And do we have any public comments before we get started? All right, and we're going to start the day with a report from the Business Tax Equity Study. I'll turn it over to you, Matt.
Thank you, Council President. What I'd like to do is invite up Deputy City Manager John Zobler. If you recall, this work meeting was to focus on a report from the Business Equity Tax Commission, which was convened several months previous, and we're looking to give you a report. Jimmy Gooding has contacted John Zobler, and you'll have in your packets a memo dated December 12th. It looks like this. Is everyone have a copy
yes.
of that?
Yeah.
That is in your packets, and if I can invite John to maybe very briefly comment on where we stand right now with the Equity Tax Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. As you recall, in the spring, City Council authorized the creation of an Equity Study Commission specifically to look at the varying classifications that we utilize in our business taxes and also the fees charged per classification. A committee was established, and they met several times. At the onset of this process, the city attorney carefully reviewed the state statute concerning adjustments to the business tax. And in all fairness, it is a little bit confusing statute, 205-0535, reclassification and rate structure revisions. A copy of that code in its entirety is on pages 4 and 5 of your attachment. However, it's a three-step process in the code, and the first step indicates that by October 1, 2008, any municipality that has adopted an ordinance, a local business tax after October 95, may make changes to the business tax. We felt that since the city had adopted its ordinance prior to 1995 and not after 95, that the original provision, that provision number one, did not apply to us, and that we could separate the process and proceed with steps 2 and 3, which call for creation of an equity study commission. Since that time, the Florida legislature is currently considering a bill, House Bill 4025, that repeals local business taxes altogether. Staff obtained a copy of their PowerPoint presentation that was made by the House and Finance Tax Committee, as well as their report. And in that report, it indicates that currently municipalities with an existing local business tax may not reclassify businesses, professions, and occupations. The report also indicates that today classification structures for existing local businesses taxes are locked in and rates changes are restricted. That was a game changer for us because it seems to indicate that this three-step process identified by that state statute cannot be broken apart, that this was only a small window that was made available to municipalities and counties to make adjustments to the business tax structure that met those two criteria. So Jimmy has since indicated in this opinion here that he is not comfortable moving forward with changes. He does not believe that at the present time we may not be entitled to make those changes. Alternatively, he's suggesting if City Council would still like to proceed with making the changes that are proposed by the Equity Study Commission, that we first obtain an opinion from the Attorney General as to whether we can, in fact, break apart 2 and 3 from number one. Also, you still have the ability to adjust the fees by 5% up or down in any category, increase or decrease. And you still have the ability to repeal the tax in its entirety if it's Council's desire. However, I remind you that those revenues are pledged against several bonds that the city has issued. So at this time, you know, the options are to wait to see what the outcome is at the state legislature level, whether it's repealed in its entirety, to seek an Attorney General's opinion, or to make minor adjustments as currently provided.
Council President, if I may.
Sure.
Staff's intention today, at least, is to at least update you on the status of the work. Jimmy will be here on Tuesday, December 20th, next week, and be available for additional questions, inquiries, and at that point, Council can determine if they so choose what direction they want to go.
Okay. Mayor Quinn.
John, how much money do we raise on these?
Approximately $430,000 a year.
Okay, I was going to say 425. Okay, so 430. How much does it cost for us to manage that? Or
We had done a previous analysis, Mayor Gwynn, and it's around $20,000 to $25,000 staff time to manage that process.
Okay. And all of that money that we get in there is going to pay off bonds that we have pledged this money?
A portion of that amount is pledged to the bonds.
How much? Do you know?
I do not know.
Can we find out?
I think we can figure that out. We'll have that report for you on Tuesday.
And the county got rid of theirs, correct? Mm-hmm. The business tax?
I believe they have stopped. They have stopped occupational licenses. Yes, sir.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure there probably needs to be a way just to keep track of businesses. I just don't. It doesn't make any sense why, let's say, mine's 75 and someone else's is 150, you know, 100 or 125, whatever it may be. I mean, it doesn't cost us any more to keep track of me than it does, you know, Joe's plumbing supply company or whatever it may be, you know. So there's some inequities in there, but, it looks like it needs some further study. And, you know, for the record, I mean, I've asked this question over the past 12 years, you know, a number of times, and, you know, it's generally that same answer. But, it would be nice if we could do something different than what we're doing now.
Any other questions or comments? Yeah, I know when we brought this up, talked about just doing a flat rate, and it was interesting having talked to Ty about the committee, that they weren't really interested in that, that they thought that the different rates were more appropriate.
Really?
Yeah, so it kind of was shocking, a surprise to me.
In general, the Equity Commission is recommending a consolidation of the number of rates.
The categories, yeah.
A number of the categories. And some increases for the lower square footage buildings and some decreases for the larger square footage buildings, with the net result being the collection of approximately the same amount annually.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll wait for your report on the 20th, and we can talk to Jimmy about that in more detail. Okay. And then parking enforcement.
Thank you. If you recall, during the previous city council meeting, staff had advanced a ordinance regarding parking enforcement for the downtown. During that same meeting, the city council asked if staff would provide an in-depth debriefing on the inner workings of that ordinance. And so we'd like to spend some time this morning providing you that debriefing. And so if I may turn the time back over to John, is it going to you or is it going to Mark?
Mark Mondale.
Turn the time over to Mark Mondale, who will give that debriefing.
Thank you. Good morning. You should have at your desk three items as part of your packet. You have a single page flyer that looks like this, the purpose of which is to identify for your purposes the city-owned parking lots, also to indicate to you what we would intend to send to the property owners and business owners downtown, depending on the outcome of our discussion today. This is a notice letting them know that there are some spaces available, reserved spaces in those lots. Our intent is to remind them that ideally we're opening up spaces downtown for merchants rather than simply employees. You should have a council report. This is exactly the same document that was presented in the agenda packet on December 6th. It includes the council report and the clean version of the ordinance. And then the third document, the document looks like this. This is actually the red line version of the ordinance, and I would propose to spend our discussion today working from this document. And based on your request or direction from our last meeting, this document identifies all the proposed changes to the ordinance, and those changes are either represented by a change in color and text, so either blue text, or the text has a strike through. If it has a strike through that indicates that it's being proposed to be deleted from the existing ordinance, or if it's underlined, then that is new language that's being added to the ordinance. And so, Madam President, if you like, I would just walk through this document or answer questions.
Yes, okay. Let's walk through it and then we'll answer questions as you go.
Thank
so
you.
If there's any,
Okay, I would like you to turn past the heading and move into the definition section of that ordinance. The first change that you'll see is we're adding a definition for chalk. And the purpose for that is that's the way we keep track of vehicles now. We chalk their tires, and then we have an idea about how long they're downtown. And previously, there was no definition for chalk. And so simply, that's more sort of an administrative thing, adding that definition into the ordinance. The next change is under common carrier. We're just deleting the term regular common carrier. It's sort of redundant. The next change is under parking enforcement activity. We've deleted the term parking enforcement. Again, it's sort of redundant to have the same two terms right in a row. Next is parking enforcement specialist. That's a new definition. And that's what the statute designates as an individual who has received the proper training to be able to enforce the parking code. And so we're adding that definition, and it's referenced throughout the document. Next change is a new definition under parking lot or facility. And the reason we're adding this is, as you know, the city has an agreement to manage the parking spaces in the Murphy lot. And previously, our ordinance didn't allow us to control that. So now the rules would affect to other parking lots that we might lease and manage. Also, the term facility would help us in the future if we have a parking garage. Next change is on our parking program. We just added that definition. And then there's additional changes to that, because the original change came under Kathy's efforts, as she's worked with the parking consultant and other individuals. And then, as you know, as code enforcement now is responsible for parking, we also looked at this and suggested that we add a change. It was originally referring to Parks and Recreation Department. We suggested that we just add it under the city manager, and then that they would assign this responsibility from time to time to a different department. The next page, I'm sure I got that right. Yep, the next page we've added definitions. There's three of them in a row. They're valet ramping space, valet ramping zone, and warning. The valet ramping space and ramping zone are definitions that we added because, if you recall, the city adopted an ordinance or the ability for us to have valet parking downtown. We wanted to make sure we updated that into this ordinance. The warning, in this ordinance, one of the major changes is that, or primary changes, I should say, I'm not sure that it's major, is that if you were to approve this ordinance, rather than issuing a ticket to someone and having a penalty associated with it, this ordinance will allow that first ticket to be a zero fee citation. Okay, so we would refer to it essentially as a warning citation. They would still get it. It would still be a citation, but there's no fee attached to it. So we added a definition for that. Under the next section, 66-31, duties of police department, because the police department enforces parking, but obviously so does the parking program and in code enforcement, we just wanted to make sure we updated parking program into that section of the ordinance. We also added, if you turn to the next page, item F. And what we did here is we say the police department shall provide state-required parking enforcement specialist training. This is something that they've always done. This is where our park rangers in the past would go to PD to get that training. This is where our code enforcement officer to get the training. We're just making it clarified here that that's where we're getting it from. PD is doing that. Our hope is in the future, once our guys have that training, that we will be able to be certified so we can just train ourselves. Okay. Next section, 6632. We just added here that it used to say that the traffic engineer was appointed by the city engineer. Management has changed that responsibility, and to allow greater flexibility, we're saying it's the city manager's responsibility, or unless they designate that responsibility. So it just keeps it simpler. We don't have to change it every time, something changes in administration. There's no other changes on the next page. The following page, you'll see there's a number of renumberings that are occurring after number 13. We've deleted recommend to the city manager median parking zones, and the reason we did that is because we've added some of those responsibilities under the parking program itself. You'll see in the next couple pages, and then after we made that deletion, we just needed to renumber the remaining items. So there were no real significant changes there. Next page, under the previous number 26, that was deleted, and actually that section's moved to the next section. Okay, under D on this page, you'll see we've added a number of things, items 1, 2, 3, 4, and then made some changes to 5. This is where we've sort of taken some of those responsibilities that were in the traffic engineer side and put them in this section. I don't really see anything significant here. We're still having to work with the traffic engineer as the managers of the parking program. I don't really think there's anything substantively here that has changed. We are also, let's see here. Yeah. Yeah, I don't see anything else really substantive here. And by the way, I know because Kathy's worked on this so much and so has Chip and others, if there's questions I can't answer, they're available to you. And if there's things that I miss, I'm begging you to please let council know or correct me if I say anything wrong. One of the things we're doing here on this page, under number 7, D7, what we've did is we used to have it in the ordinance where the fees for reserved parking spaces were in the ordinance. We pulled those out. And that'll happen under the budget process with council, where you'll look and you'll have a table and you'll do that by resolution. You'll set all the fees. We do that now with the development regulated fees as well. And that way, anytime you want to make a change, we don't have to do an ordinance change. Okay? So that's consistent with what we've done on some of the development side, development fees. And we added number 8 on the next page, where we'll work with the traffic engineer if there is a need to go ahead and block off areas or temporary closures. So that really isn't any different than what was happening in the past. Recreation and Parks was working with the traffic engineer. Now the parking program manager will work with the traffic engineer. Under impoundment of vehicles, we've added reference to another section under section 66-35. We've gone ahead and added a line here under number 5 where we talk about or a parking program, parking space. We've tried to do is just clarify this, bring greater clarity to the issue. We also added number 8. And the reason we added number 8 is this has to do with a practice. When Recreation and Parks is having a special event downtown, they properly notify the business owners. They let them know what's going to happen. They let them know what streets are going to be closed, what areas you have to vacate in terms of parking spaces. And so what we've done here is just clarified that they have the ability, therefore, to impound vehicles if they're not following what's already been noticed to them. The next one is 6635. We've just, again, added references to the city's parking program, added a couple other references to just make it a little bit more clear. Let's see, next page. Here we're just adding under 66-37 clarifications relating back to Florida statute, referencing the term parking enforcement specialist. That's the identified individual, as we've already noted in the definition section. Under 66-38, we've removed some of the time periods, like period of 48 hours. We deleted that. We just said time specified in the citation. Again, that keeps it so that if there's a change in statute or a change in practice from 48 to 72 or whatever, we don't have to go back and change the ordinance. It just whatever specified on the citation is what the time period is. Okay. The next section is the table. And if you look at the table, there's been a number of changes here. I think the primary change, and the one that's of probably most importance, again, we've already mentioned, which is the change in fee structure or penalties for parking in a space beyond, you know, when your meter runs out. In the past, there would be a penalty under 6661 A and B there. Immediate penalty of $25. That's now going to a warning of 0. And then the first one's going to 25, and then it just bumps up from there. And so, from our perspective, this is more friendly to the customer, gives them a chance if they're new to town that they don't get penalized right away for coming downtown. There's a number of other changes, and if you just compare that table to the one that you have in this packet, you'll be able to see all those different changes in dollar values. I don't know that there's anything else there that's particularly important to highlight, but certainly if you have any questions, we can address those. I think the next section, if you get past that table and you turn to section 9 under section 6642, this is a new change. This is an addition. The city has always had the ability, even though it wasn't previously codified, the city has always had the ability, when somebody is violating our parking, let's say they have 6 tickets that are unpaid, okay? It doesn't matter the number for the sake of this discussion. Our only mechanism to compel those individuals to pay those tickets are if we see them, we remind them, we send them letters, or if we find their vehicle downtown, we could boot the vehicle. And that usually will garner their compliance. But if they don't come back downtown, that's it. That's the end of the day. The statute has always allowed cities, and many cities do this in their parking programs, that after you have three or more parking violation citations that are unpaid, we can forward that information to the Division of Highway and Motor Vehicles. And when those individuals go back to re-register their vehicle, they will bring that to their attention. They won't be able to do that until they come back and comply with paying their parking tickets. So we're proposing to add this section. This gives us a little bit more teeth. On the one hand, we're being more friendly with them. On the other hand, we want to make sure we have enough teeth that, so that this ordinance is meaningful. It doesn't require us after three tickets to send it to the division, but it gives us the ability to do that.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, Chip brought to my attention, right above that section, I did skip the appeal section. That is another significant change. In the past, anyone who wanted to appeal a ticket would appeal essentially to staff, to Kathy and the Parks and Rec staff, and we're changing that. Now any appeals would have to go to the special magistrate. So staff will be out of the process. Our discretion is to write the ticket in the first place, whether we write it or not, to try to work with those customers and those owners. But once the ticket's written, if they want to appeal it, they'll have to go to the special magistrate. We have it every month, as you know. And then if for some reason they weren't satisfied in that process, their remedy would be go to the circuit court. Another thing that comes with that per statute is if they appeal the ticket and they lose, then not only would they have to pay the ticket, they'll have to pay administrative fees. The administrative fee is not a set fee. Per statute, it's whatever the cost is for staff to bring that case and present that case. That's the way it is with our code board and magistrate now for all code enforcement issues. For example, we have a affidavit where we pull all of our time off in the computer, we bring it to the code board or the magistrate, and they look at that information. Then they have, I think, some latitude, I think, to decide if they want to apply that or not, or fully. But that's what we would do, the same thing. We don't anticipate any massive amount of fees. We're talking probably pretty nominal time for our staff to just, to present that case. Okay, we've also clarified under 66-61 that, Saturdays and Sundays and full legal holidays. Well, we've already had full legal holidays and Sundays, but we added Saturdays as not having to pay for parking. Let's see. The next section we added was 66-62. We've retitled that or added as stopping, standing, or parking in the valet ramping spacer zone. So we just clarified that because if you have a valet zone currently, we just can't have people parking in those zones. And so we've clarified what's involved in that. Same thing under the next section under freight zones. Now, Chip, this is this next section, 66-66. We've always had this section, the 66-66, the anti-shuffling section of the code, but we're cleaning it up and clarifying it here. What that is if you're in a 2-hour parking zone, and now you've parked in the car, in that space for 3 hours, people would, largely employees, but not exclusively, would park in that area in that parking space on one side of the street, and they'd just take their car. Two would go out and take their car and flip them and change spaces, or just move to the other side of the street. The problem with that is it doesn't really solve the problem of trying to provide parking for customers. So in this anti-shuffling ordinance, what we're saying is if you're on the same street, I don't matter what side of the street you're on, if you're there for 2 hours and you've exceeded the time limit and you've moved to the other side of the street, you're still in violation. So our goal here is to try to make sure we're freeing up more spaces for customers downtown.
Good question.
Yes.
On Broadway, right next to Mark's, there used to be a sign up there that said freight loading. That sign's gone now.
Yes.
Is there any way we can get that back? And I mean, mm-hmm. everybody knows that that's the designated spot for all those service delivery trucks.
Yep. We'll work with the traffic engineer on that.
Parked. I don't know what happened to it, but it's just gone. It was right. Okay. It was right by that dumpster for Torino's. Marks that we did.
On the sidewalk there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
And I have a question, too,
yes,
about
ma'am.
The anti-shuffling.
Yes.
How's this going to affect, like, someone who's, say, is spending a long time downtown? For example, if you're going down and having your hair done and going
yes.
to lunch and doing some shopping, you know,
yes.
that's going to extend past the 2 hours.
Yes.
What happens with those people?
Our staff, as well as Parks and Rec staff and their rangers, they've done a great job working with our staff to help us know. We have a good feel for who the common violators are. We know their vehicles. We know their license tags. We know who they are. And largely, they are the employees.
Okay.
So our guys are instructed that downtown is meant to be, you know, why we need to maintain order and all those kinds of things. We also need to make sure we maintain a friendly customer environment.
Right.
Our guys are going to be working hard to be careful that we're not overly penalizing or burdening the people who are coming and doing exactly what you're saying. I don't have a great answer for you to say that there are going to be cases where people are going to get tickets, but our goal is to try not to affect those individuals.
Right.
That's what we want them to be doing.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Mark, is it safe to say that you're really looking at repeat offenders, people that are abusing that type of system?
Yep. And as we come forward in the future with the parking garage study, which hopefully will be the near future here, we have some other suggestions that will dovetail into this, where we're going to try to identify some areas for employees and some other things that we're really going to try to encourage their buying into our program and what we're trying to accomplish downtown.
Okay. Another question. You know, this has been a problem that's been ongoing, you know, forever. I mean, do the business owners seem concerned that their employees are parking in the spaces that they're kind of designated for their customers, or do
you make
them aware of it, or?
Yes, sir. We do make them aware of it, and we will continue to do that. I would say that there are some employers that are concerned and try to encourage their employees, and some go to the extent of reserving spaces so
right.
that their employees can park there, and that's one of the reasons we have that flyer, just to remind them of that.
Right.
There are some that will frankly say, listen, I have a hard enough job managing my business and making sure I have employees. Your ordinance doesn't say employees can't park on the square, nor probably should it. I mean, it's pretty tough
yeah.
to single them out. So they say that's your problem. So we're hoping that as we bring forward, you know, the parking garage, we bring forward this, and I think people will see that this is, I think, more customer friendly. Even though we've got some more teeth in it, it's meant to be customer friendly. As we bring forward the parking garage study and we bring some other things that are associated with it, I'm hoping that we will gain greater business owner support to see that the city's really trying to find solutions. And if we don't, you know, then there'll be some mechanisms in place where maybe we can compel their compliance. Okay. Let's see. That was the big section. As we move on under 6667, again, we've added the term city owned or leased because we do lease that parking lot. Or we added it twice in that same section under A and B. All under 6668, under all night parking, we added the same terminology there. Same thing under 66-69. We did also add under 66-69 a couple of the new sections, four in a position which blocks pedestrian crosswalks and a space not specifically designated for parking. We added those because in practice we're finding some of those issues come up, and so we want to address them. Same thing under six, in front of a dumpster. Now, this last one, B, I just want to point this out to you. Let's see. Is this the right one? No, this isn't the right one. I'll move on from this. Freight curb, we've added some administrative things there, talking about the parking program manager, having the definition of freight curb, adding a reference to another section so that it's internally consistent. This is the one I wanted to point out to you. 66-77, parking lawn roadways. You'll see we've added a terminology here. Every vehicle stopped or parked upon a two-way roadway shall be so stopped or parked with the right-hand wheels parallel to and within 12 inches of the right-hand curb or edge of the roadway. Let me explain to you why we have that there. We have no intention of walking out there and having a tape measure and walking behind every car and measuring and go, ha ha, 12 and a quarter. That's not our intention. That's not going to happen. Just
well,
like we
happened.
Have... Now, it has happened. It has happened, but there was an isolated incident, and we've talked about that.
Oh, I wasn't even bringing that up. I was just kidding.
No, it happened once, and we all corrected that. But
it's kind of like in code enforcement, we have a rule that says your grass can't be more than 12 inches. We don't drive around town with a ruler measuring everybody's yard. What it does is when we go out and look at a yard, for example, that's really overgrown, and we go to somebody and say, your yard's really overgrown, they say, well, it's not overgrown to me, we can refer back to the code and says, well, it says 12 inches. It gives you that standard. It's the same thing here. What our guys are going to do is they're going to look down the street, and if they see a car that's sticking halfway out into the lane, when they go, you know, they talk to the owner, let's say, and the owner says, well, it's not out in the lane to me. Well, here's what it says. Right. That's all that this is meant to do.
And then that just continues on. We'll talk about that. The next section under metered parking zones, and then you have the table there, the table insert. What we did is we deleted one of the parking lots because it doesn't exist anymore. That was the parking lot that was on the Sprint site. Well, it doesn't exist anymore, so we're pulling it out of the table. And then we're just clarifying under streets parking spaces on any street within the downtown parking exempt zone. That's the area that we're really focusing on, is the exempt zone. But we'll bring forward to council, you know, as the parking program and upper management wants to bring forth to you other ideas about other metered spaces, we'll bring those things, you know, I'm sure, to you, so you'll be aware of the things we want to be able to do as far as managing our parking. That really covers it. As I said, staff's here to answer any of your questions.
Any questions?
Yeah, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Back to the anti-shuffling.
Yes.
Would it be safe to say that most of the shufflers are the business owners or employees downtown?
Yes.
In the case of the business owners, the downtown tax was established in 1967 to take care of parking problems. And, you know, in my personal opinion, we haven't addressed that in all these years. And we're going to turn around and penalize the business owners for shuffling their car from one place to another because we don't have the appropriate amount of parking. And I have a problem with that until we get to the point of getting to the parking garage. I mean, I understand there's some violators that, you know, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
But if we're penalizing a business owner that's paying a special tax, then we got a problem.
You know, I think that's a valid point for sure. We have some spaces and reserve lots that are available. That's not a great answer to your question, but we do, as you know, part of what the city has done is acquired these lots. And so we do have some spaces that are available. In fact, the reality is you can actually oversell those lots because even if they're leased to one company, they're just not always going to be filled. And we do that. We oversell a little bit, but we still have spaces available in those lots. And I'm not saying that means that the business owner has the only choice is that they take one of those spaces, but another choice is they can park further away. And, you know, it's interesting, Mr. McLeod, when we've done this before, we've brought a map in that shows, for example, the Paddock Mall over downtown and all the parking that's associated with it. And it's amazing how far people were willing to walk and not even think about it at the Paddock Mall, for example. But when you think about downtown, two blocks is like 2 miles to a lot of people. And right. So some of it's a cultural thing, I think, that there are spaces, but they're maybe just not the most convenient location for them. And I think when we bring the parking garage report, not only are we going to show a parking garage and some other options, one of the options are we've identified some potential areas to create additional on-street spaces that you'll have available. So I think these things are sort of kind of coming together hand in hand. This one happens to be a little bit earlier than that, but that report's coming pretty soon. Or we're hoping December 20th, but it may be even January.
Sure, and I agree with you. I have no problem. For instance, myself, I can walk from any of the lots and get anywhere I want to. But what if we're dealing with somebody who's elderly or has a maybe not a handicap per se, but you know, they can't walk that far?
Yeah.
I think that's somewhat of a problem, and I don't know the exact answer to it, but I would hesitate to be too enforceful of the anti-shuffling until the point that we have adequate parking.
Okay.
What's the rule on the anti-shuffling? What's that time limit that you can come and go?
Well, it's going to be
2 hours.
It varies depending on where you're at and depending on what the issue is. So some areas we have 3-hour parking downtown. Some are 2-hour parking downtown. Some are
less than that.
1 hour. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, when my office was downtown, you know, close to the square, I mean, I would literally go to an appointment that appointment might be, you know, 4 or 5 blocks away and come back and park, you know, within the same, you know, 2 or 3 spaces from each other. Mm-hmm. You know, is that violating the law? I was gone for, you know, an hour or so, but, mm-hmm. you know, according to that law, you know, I'm in violation of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and, you know, what happens if someone's there for 2 hours, legitimately leaves, drives to their home, eats lunch, comes mm-hmm. back, parks in the space next to it. Now we in violation of shuffling because of the...
I would say yes.
I the answer, the short answer is yes. I think the more complete answer is, as I mentioned earlier, most of the universe of regular parkers downtown are known to us or are becoming increasingly known to us. Mm-hmm. So I think there will be some cases because, you know, I'm really encouraging our park. We have a couple of parking enforcement guys, but there's one primary one. His name's Raymond, to really work, reach out, especially as we fully take this over. We haven't fully taken over 100% only because we haven't got the PD training yet. Mm-hmm. But that's sort of the last piece. We're doing everything else. Once we have that training, I'm encouraging Raymond to reach out to all the business owners and get to know who they are, get to know their vehicles, and get to know their situations. I think that there's opportunities where if somebody regularly does that and we know it, we might be able to work with that person, you know.
Right.
But there are going to be cases where they will get a ticket in that situation under this ordinance.
Mr. Owen?
And Mark, we do have... I know we've done a pretty good job down there in signage and all of the lots that are available, and then the color coding. I think mm-hmm. we've got what green and yellow mm-hmm. and red. Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of mm-hmm. information in there, education process, and in the like the chamber lot, and then mm-hmm. going down Broadway there, Eddie's Golf Shop, which that lot there,
the new one, yeah.
So that there is opportunity for businesses and employees in the morning, because I, you know, I go down. 7 o'clock, you go to Starbucks for a meeting, and there's a heck of a lot of parking available. And at 9 o'clock, there's a heck of a lot of parking available. So these businesses do have opportunity mm-hmm. to get to work, park in a legitimate spot, and God forbid they have to walk 100 yards to their shop. That's just me talking, but I mean, that's part of it. Again, you know, they get as close as they can. It's just, you know, we had a traffic study, and I know at some point we've got to address parking, and we're going to have to continue as we want to yep. develop downtown. Yep. We're going to grow. There's no doubt we're growing. Yep. I go back to our traffic study that we had just, what, six, well, it's probably been, is that about a year old now?
Yep.
We did that
mm-hmm.
back
yep.
in mm-hmm. January, close to mm-hmm. a year. The word perception, I remember, was
yes.
in the first paragraph.
Yes.
So it's just going to be a continual education process and just getting people to understand there is parking downtown.
Yeah.
And you have to walk more than 20 feet doesn't mean we don't have a parking problem.
And I think that there's clearly a difference. Business owners, for example, that come down for whatever their reasons are, but they recognize it's a unique environment downtown, let's say versus State Road 200 or these other areas. And I think there's pros and cons that go with that. A pro is if you do a building downtown or renovation and you have impact fees due, the city has an impact fee abatement program downtown. We don't have that somewhere else on State Road 200, for example. So they may have taken advantage of that, but they know that there's some inconveniences they might have to live with. So it's tough to solve everyone's needs all the time, but we think we're doing a pretty good job of focusing on the primary goal, which is the customers.
Well, Madam President, if I can, just for one time, I've said it for about 5 years, I'm going to say it again. I think this council ought to say that we're going to build a parking garage and try to site it, because that's when the war is going to begin. I'm just telling you, if we were to pick a spot today and tomorrow complete with financing, it would fill up in here by next Tuesday and everybody would be complaining, why are we putting it there and what are we doing?
Right.
So sometimes but I'm not trying to put you in a spot, Mark. I'm just... You know us up on this.
Very
side.
Good point.
We get to rambling sometimes. Sometimes it has value, and other times it doesn't. But I just, you know, I went yesterday, real quick. I had 15 minutes for lunch yesterday, and I went down there right at high noon. I mean, just you think it's holidays, it's pack season. There were 30 spots on the square. Right. I mean, it was just so. you know, it's ebb and flow. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just kind of, it goes and...
Very elastic.
I know we see that, so it's a constant moving, it's a moving target, which I know what we're trying to do. So it takes one busy day or one busy activity or one thing. We ain't got no parking down here. And then the next day, I mean, there's wind blowing down through the square. So it's, hopefully we'll keep moving. But I think it's a good starting point. And I like the reduction of the fines because I've been going broke, I'm losing my council check on some of my parking tickets.
Any other comments? Are there any comments from the public on this?
I don't have a question.
All right.
What do these mean?
The boxes?
Yeah.
The black.
Unfortunately, that's just the nature of the reproduction for you of this. We copied it a number of times over, and it's just that's an area where the fees are changing. If you look, Ms. Rich, compare it to the one that's attached to this document and that fee table, you'll be able to see in this fee table what the actual fee is being recommended here, what the change is, if you compare the two.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. With that, we will adjourn the work session, and we will open a meeting of the audit committee. Um.